Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, band. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay, be honest with me. How many stayed up and watched the ball drop? I did. I stayed up and watched it, but that's not why I stayed up. I stayed up to watch Alabama totally annihilate Michigan State. Whoa, what a game that was. So then I watched Michigan annihilate somebody else. That wasn't fun. But anyway, it was a great new year. I'm so glad to see you, especially. I'm Randy, by the way, if we haven't met, one of the pastors. But I'm so glad to see you, especially if this is your first Sunday. And I got to say, if it is, this is the greatest Sunday for you to be here in the history of this church. And here's what I want to do. I want to welcome everybody to what I believe could be the greatest adventure that we've ever gone on. And maybe you as a personally have ever gone on. Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles. And it is so much more than just a message series. This is going to be a 36-month church-wide campaign that has the potential, get this, to completely, dynamically grow us spiritually more than what we've ever could imagine happening. And not only that, to lead us into experiencing a lifestyle of generosity that's just like God's. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting because we're going to learn together how faith and miracles exist in our world and in our life. But I need to give you a heads up, okay? And that's this. Your faith is going to be stretched. You're going to be challenged. And so much so that there's going to be some moments where it's going to be uncomfortable. But that's a good thing because we don't grow when we're comfortable. And what's the end result of growth? It's blessings. It's maturity. It's answered prayer. It's a whole lot of other things. So that's what we're going to go after in Daring Faith. And we're going to experience that. And that's what I want you to experience. But I don't want you to take my word for it before we all start jumping in on this thing. I want you to look at what God says about it in His Word. Romans 1:17 says this, the gospel or the good news shows us how God makes people right with Himself. And that it begins and ends with what? With faith. And that's how we get right with God. The scripture says that those who are right with God will live by trusting in Him. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God. That's enough reason alone to spend 11 weeks talking about and learning daring faith. Because anyone who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Did you know that God really wants to reward you for earnestly seeking Him? And if you believe that, the Bible says that you'll live by faith. You'll live like the just will live by faith. So as we start jumping into this thing today, if that is what God's talking about with faith, and that's how we should live, and we believe that, and if it's impossible to please God without faith, then what in the world is faith? Hang in there for 10 more weeks, and we're going to answer that question. Today, I want to lay the foundation for this whole thing. If you're taking notes, write this down, and this is what your notes look like. I encourage you to do that. Faith is seeing from God's point of view. It's seeing from God's point of view. And the bottom line is that we struggle with this. And the reason we do, because there's a lot of things we think faith is, but it's not. For instance, faith is not desire. You know, you can hope for something and wish for it and pray for it and it not be faith. I remember when I was 15 years old, I turned 15. The day I turned 15, I'll never forget it. February 17th, by the way, and I'll give you my sizes afterwards if you'd like that. But if I turned 15, I had one thought, one desire, and it wasn't a girlfriend, it was a car. Because you get a car, you get a girl, right? So I wanted a car. And I got a car that year. It really wasn't a car. It was half a car. It was a VW bug. It didn't have any brakes, but it ran like a scalded dog, and it was a blast to drive. It was a huge desire, but it wasn't faith. Faith isn't making yourself believe something's true when it isn't. I could stand up here all day long and say that this cup of hot tea is really a Starbucks toffee nut latte made with heavy whip and steamed 190 degrees, but it's not. It's just a cup of hot tea. Faith isn't a feeling. Sometimes feelings, in fact, often feelings get in the way of our faith. That's why I choose to believe even when I don't feel like it. Let me give you another one. Faith isn't bargaining with God. Well, God, if you'll just do this, I promise you I'll do that. No, that doesn't move God. That's not faith. What's faith? It's seeing the world around us from God's perspective, from His viewpoint. He talks about it in Hebrews 11:1. It says, what is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. Not maybe, not might, not I hope for it. No, this is going to happen. And to be certain of things we do not yet see. That's in your notes. Circle that phrase, we do not yet see. Faith is being absolutely sure of things that we can't see. It's all over vision. At the core of Daring Faith lies five goals, five faith goals that we believe are God-sized and ordained. You're going to hear a lot about these over the next several weeks. Here they are. By faith, we're trusting God to fully fund the purchase and the improvements on our new property that we're going to be moving into this year. It's going to be awesome. By faith, we're trusting God to attract hundreds of families, new families, to the gathering through a new children's worship ministry center that we're going to be erecting over there. By faith, we're trusting God to increase our community group participation by launching 30 new community groups. By faith, we're trusting God with the strength to train over 750 more new church members into service and in the process to see them truly experience purpose and fulfillment in life. And by faith, this is so cool, we're trusting God to empower us to honor the mission that God's given us for our church by reaching and seeing 500 more people, in addition to all that we've seen, make first-time commitments to Christ. Now, have any of those things happened yet? No. But we're choosing to see them happening by looking through God's eyes and looking from God's perspective. Speaking of perspective, isn't it true there's always more than one way to look at something? If you are married, you know what I'm talking about. In fact, Lindy and I had a conversation. Well, let me stop and say this because I got to say this. Today, y'all don't know how special you are. Today, Lindy and I are celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary. And we're here with you today, okay? You're special. Now, I know I got married. I was 12. She was 9, and it was legal back then. But 40 years. That's faithfulness. That's daring faith right there, I'm telling you. But it's an awesome night. We were having this conversation, and even after 40 years, it was one of those conversations that I wish I'd just kept my mouth shut. I would have been better off, right? I walked away from that conversation and thinking, if I could just conquer perspective, I could conquer communication. Here's what matters. It's not how we see it. It's how God sees it. It's seeing things around us and seeing life and seeing the world through the eyes of God, through His visions and through His eyes and His perspective. I love Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. In fact, I'm praying this for you right now, and I'm praying it for myself and my family. It goes like this, verse 18. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart, say eyes of your heart, say that, eyes of your heart will be flooded with light so that you can see the wonderful future that God has promised to those He's called. That you can see, that you'll allow God to open your eyes to see His vision for your life and what's going on around you. What's Paul talking about here? What he's talking about is this, that what is unseen is really more real than what is seen. If you study the Bible, you'll see that God tells us that everything we can see is temporary. What you drive, what you're living in, your body, even your hair. Guys, turn to your wife and say, that hairdo is not going to last. Don't do that. Don't do that. But the point is, everything we can see, it's gonna go away. But not the things we can't see. Like the Holy Spirit, the things of God, they're going to last forever. And that's where faith comes in. It's all over the Bible. I could take the rest of the day giving you stories and illustrations of this, of how we see through the eyes of our heart and spiritual eyes and God's point of view. Let me give you one. After the resurrection, Jesus has died, but He's risen back to life, but His disciples don't know it. Two of them are strolling down a road. Jesus pops up beside them. They don't even know it's Him. Talking to Him while they're walking. They didn't find out until He said the blessing at dinner time. And the Bible tells us that God opened their eyes. Don't miss this. And all of a sudden, they went, it's Him. It's Jesus. He's right here. That's what God wants to do in your life in 2016. He wants to open your eyes so that daily you stop and go, it's Jesus. He's right here. He's protecting me. He's providing for me. And His plan really is bigger than mine. Huge. Huge. Let God open your eyes. My objective for today is that you leave this morning knowing the difference between seeing through eyes of fear and seeing through eyes of faith. So let's dive in. What happens when we see through eyes of fear? In the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14, you'll find the nation of Israel are getting ready to cross the river Jordan. They're right there at the edge of the river, and they're going to cross it into the promised land. If you study before that, you'll see that God had promised them the promised land for hundreds of years, and now they've got out of slavery, and they're getting ready to go, and Moses says, okay, the first thing we're going to do, we're going to send a SEAL team in and do some recon. So 12 of their best warriors go in, and they spy out the land. They come back, two of them. Read it. It's why you read the Bible. It's an awesome story. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, say, it's amazing. It's great. You should see this land. God's given it to us. Let's take it. But 10 of them had a different take. They said, yeah, it's amazing, but, and they give all these reasons why not to do it. They were seeing through eyes of fear. But the thing is, the whole nation went the fear route. And because of that, an entire generation missed God's purpose for their lives. What a tragic thing for that is to happen. And that's why daring faith is so important. This is not cliche, but I want you to experience the promised land. I want to experience it. Not next year, not down the road, but this year. To experience all that God has for us and walk in that. So let's talk about what happens when we see with eyes of fear. If you're taking notes, the first thing is this. We exaggerate our difficulties. We exaggerate our difficulties, or we magnify our problems. The more you look at your problems with eyes of fear, the bigger they get. When somebody starts criticizing you, before long you're thinking the whole world is criticizing you. I mean, look at the children of Israel after all the miracles God had done, parting the Red Sea and all of the above. Look at how they responded to God in Numbers, the beginning of your Bible there, chapter 13, verse 27. It's a magnificent land, but, there's that word, the people living there are powerful, and their cities are fortified and large. And what's more, we saw Anakim giants there, and the Anakim are of the tribe of Skywalker, and the force was strong with them, and it's dark, and it's going to kill us, and it's going to be bad. Okay, I'm sorry, going off on a tangent. Verse 31, other spies said they'd crush us. So the majority report of the spies was what? What's that word? Negative. Count on it. You get ready to do something significant, especially for God, you know what's going to happen? The majority around you are going to be the worriers, the critics, and the naysayers. It happened when God said to start this church before Lindy and I ever moved back. It'll happen every single time. They're going to crush us. They're going to devour us. You can't do this, and how are you going to do that? Here's the problem. Negative attitudes are contagious. And that whole nation, they were pumped. They were ready to cross that river and take that promised land until 10 negative thinkers showed up. And when they did, an entire nation got infected with that attitude, and they missed out on the lives that God had designed them to live. By the way, the enemy, those big Anakim giants over there, later on you'll see the Bible tells you that they were shaking in their boots and ready to surrender the whole time. Here's the second thing we do when we look through eyes of fear is we understand or underestimate our own abilities. We underestimate our own abilities. We exaggerate our problems and difficulties, and then we underestimate our own abilities. Look at verse 33, chapter 13 of Numbers. We seem like grasshoppers. When you talk about low self-esteem, yeah, we're just like a bunch of bugs. I mean, they're going to eat us for lunch. We need a different realtor here. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, circle that, in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Like, if that's the way I see myself, then that's the way everybody sees me. See, they've been freed from slavery, but in their minds they were still enslaved. Somewhere back in your past, maybe it was a parent or a husband or a wife or an uncle or somebody else, and they said something about you, might even been innocently, but they said something about you that wasn't true, and you believed it. And they may not even be around anymore, but you're still believing it. You're still enslaved to their image of you. You got out of Egypt, but you're still in prison. This is one of the tremendous benefits that comes out of going through Growth Track. Because you learn how to get past your past. Growth Track happens every month, first four Sundays. If you haven't got in it, man, I encourage you to get in it today. What a great way to start the year. Today is Church 101. We're going to be talking about the vision that God has for your life. It happens right after 11 o'clock service at 12:30. Hey, we'll even give you lunch and take care of your kids. But come be a part of that. Here's the key. Your primary identity is in Christ. It's not in your sin or your failures or your loneliness or your panic attacks or your codependency or any of that stuff. It's in Christ. And when he's not the focus, you're going to see through eyes of fear and not through eyes of faith. We exaggerate our difficulties. We underestimate our abilities. And then we all do this one. We get discouraged. This is just so common. We just get down on ourselves and everything else. Look at chapter 14, verse 1. Then all the people began weeping aloud, and they carried on all night. They were so discouraged, so down about not going into the promised land, they threw this giant pity party, but all because they chose to live with fear and not with faith. And that's what happened. They got discouraged. What do we do next? We start to gripe about all of our lives. Isn't it true? We get into that mode, and now everything's wrong, and nothing's right. And then we start doing something else. We play the blame game. Look at verse 2. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. "We wish we had died in Egypt," they wailed. Or even here in the wilderness, they go from mourning to discontent. When you find somebody who's always critical of other people, the problem is that deep down, they're just insecure. Because, if I don't feel good about me, I sure don't want you feeling good about you. So I'm going to criticize, and I'm going to complain, and I'm going to fault find, and I'm going to just try to do everything I can to diminish and put down every success you ever have. And that's what happens when we see through the eyes of fear. And then inevitably, here's the last one, we eventually give up, and now we're blaming God. We blame God. I mean, they went after Moses and Aaron, but now look at who they're going after in verse 3. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land to be killed with swords? We'd be better off going back to Egypt. You know what they're really saying? Oh, God, this is your fault, man. Just goes to show us, I'm smarter than you. I know better than you. It wasn't God's fault. God did his part. He was faithful. God's always, always faithful. It was their choice, driven by fear and feelings, that kept them out of the promised land. And now they're remembering the good old days, 400 years of slavery. Are you kidding me? Why? Because it was just safe. It was just safe. I believe that's why a lot of people get stuck in an abusive relationship. It's like it's a safe slavery. And whether it's that or an addictive habit or fear or thought pattern, you don't like it. But hey, it's my Egypt. You know, it's what I know. And yeah, I know it's bad, but it's familiar. It's what I do. We're going to talk about that today in Church 101. Some of us are confusing slavery and safety. They're not the same thing. There's nothing safe about slavery. There never will be. The opposite of slavery is what? It's freedom. And freedom doesn't come without risk. There's something you need to hear today. Right now, you're either heading towards slavery or you're heading towards taking risk and freedom. You're wired by God to take risk. You don't have to die in the wilderness. You can choose, even right now, you can choose to live a life by faith. You can choose to see as God sees, to dream of things not as they are, but as they could be, and live an amazing life. What happens when we do that? What happens when we choose to see through the eyes of faith? There's a lot of things I could give you, but I'm going to try to sum it up with just six. Here's the first one. Faith shrinks my problems. It shrinks my problems. When I start looking at things from God's viewpoint, and the problems get smaller. They don't go away. But it brings a new perspective. And now things are, it's like they're just more manageable in my life and what's going on. The bigger your God is, the smaller your problems are. Which means if you're going around worrying all the time and down in the mouth about stuff, you got a pretty small God. what we need to say is, God, you're big and you can handle this, and I'm giving it to you, and I'm going to trust you to work it out for the best. And when we really buy into that, it gives us a confidence. It gives us a peace, and it just takes the load off. It's not knowing how he's going to work it out. It's just knowing he will. Genesis 18:4 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? To which the obvious answer is, are you sure? No, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. In fact, read out loud with me Luke 1:37. Say it. Here we go. For nothing is impossible with God. Jesus says, hey, if it's not in God's vocabulary, it shouldn't be in yours. Lose the word impossible. Lose it. Lose it. Faith shrinks my problems. Faith also, I love this one, opens the door for a miracle. It opens the door for a miracle. This is awesome stuff. You read the Bible. Study history. I promise you, every time God moves, every time he does a miracle, it's because somebody believed. Isn't that amazing? Look what Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 22. He said, have faith in God. If you have faith in God, and here's the key, you don't doubt, you could tell this mountain to get up and jump in the sea, and it would. Do y'all believe that? Yes. It's right there. It's right there. Jesus said it. Whatever, about the next 21 days of prayer, we're going to be asking for those kind of miracles. Whatever you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have the faith. This is so cool. In God's flow chart, the law of faith is actually higher than the law of nature. That means that when you choose to exercise this kind of faith, that God puts in place a God-given law of faith that is in authority over literally the law of physics. I think that's just so awesome. If you actually, or if we actually had a faith like that, you could literally say to a mountain, jump into that ocean, and it would sit up and say, how high? It would do it if we had that kind of faith. And that's why, that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about Daring Faith, is we're going to see some miracles through this thing. Because every time your faith gets stretched, God does miracles every time. Here's a question. I want you to identify this today. What's the mountain in your life right now? What's the mountain? You might want to even jot down something in your notes. What's that one big thing that's not moving, that's never going to move? And Randy, I know you love me and you care, but you can't understand. It's never going to happen. How do you know? How do you know that God doesn't want to do something supernatural in your life? Don't ever underestimate God. He will always be in the mountain moving business. Always. That's who he is. And in fact, we're going to get into that next week. We're going to learn how to get ready for a miracle next week. It's going to be awesome too. If you're not experiencing any miracles, chances are pretty good you're looking through the eyes of fear. Here's number three. Faith moves God to act on my behalf. It moves God to act on my behalf. Now listen to me with your eyeballs. I'm not talking about that whacked out false doctrine of health and wealth where God's some kind of genie that pops out of a bottle when you say the prayer a certain way and pops you a $100 bill. No. Okay? Don't listen to that junk. Don't believe that junk. That's not what I'm talking about. But having said that, check out the truth that Jesus gives us in Matthew 9, 29. This is profound. Jesus said, according to your what? It will be done to you. Say that with me. According to your faith, it will be done to you. You know what that means? That means that you and I get to choose how much God is going to bless us. We get to choose that. Do you want to know why God has blessed me? I'm a blessed man. Do you know why he's blessed me? It's not because I deserve it. Not far from it. It's not because I'm smarter or better than anybody else. No way. Maybe it's because of my physique. Nah, you don't want to go there. It's not that either. The only reason that God does anything in my life is because I expect him to. God will do what you expect him to do. You expect him to do a little, he'll do a little. You expect him to do a lot, he's going to do a lot. That's who he is. That's why I'm going to challenge you. Others are going to challenge me. We're going to challenge your faith throughout this campaign. Let me say it this way. Don't be satisfied playing in the kiddie pool. Grow up. Put on your big boy swimsuit and jump off into the deep end. And challenge yourself to believe God more than you've ever believed Him before. And you'll experience more of God than you've ever experienced before. I believe God for some big things in my life, but it didn't start there. Okay, it was a process. And then each time I saw God do something, it grew my faith. It grew it. As parents, grandparents, don't you love doing something really, bringing pleasure to your kids, doing something for your kids? I mean, look at Christmas with our kids. My grandson, I just blew up watching him open up stuff and having fun and playing with him. But isn't it true that it blesses you more than it does them? That's the same with God. He loves being with you and watching you and providing for you and doing things for you. And it's like, there's my girl. Look, there's my boy. And they're being exactly who I made them to be. But God will never be moved by our griping and our complaining. That's not going to move Him. What moves Him is when I say, God, I'm trusting You because Your name's on this promise and I fully expect You to do it. That brings us to the fourth benefit of faith, and this one's huge. Faith unlocks all the promises of God, all the promises of God. You may not know it, but there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. 7,000. If you're going to live by faith, if you're going to experience all God has for you, you got to become a promise person. You've got to memorize some promises. Get them under your belt so that when you need them, you can claim them and you can pray them and speak them. What do you think God's take is on all these 7,000 promises? It's 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are all, read this boldly with me, yes in Christ. They're yes in Christ. Every single one of them, all the promises that God's made in His Word are yes in Christ, and get this, faith is the key that unlocks all those promises. Lindy and I, this past summer, we made a big move. We moved into town and we got a new house. And actually, I got to tell you, it's a major HGTV special. So if you love to renovate, some are already helping us. Man, come, give me your name. We welcome all comers in that. But what if while remodeling this house, we came across this letter that said, whoever finds this letter will receive $1 million. What do you think we'd do? We'd flip out. But what if we didn't have any way to contact who wrote the letter? It'd be worthless, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be worth anything. Right now, you could be holding on to a promise that says, I'll give whoever has this letter $1 million. But you can only claim it if you know the name and the contact info of the one that made the promise. Don't miss this. The promises of God only apply to those who know the author. Only to those who know His name, and His name is Jesus. All the promises are yes in Christ. He guarantees it, and faith unlocks it. Number five, faith turns God-given dreams into reality. Turns God-given dreams into reality. This one's so huge. We're going to take a whole Sunday morning and spend on it. We're going to talk about daring to imagine. I'm so pumped about this. Jot it down. It's January 24th. We'll be talking about daring to imagine. Just so happens, that's our first Vision Sunday of 2016. We do four of them every year. What are they? We want to go all out on the vision of our church. And that's to invest and invite in those people we run into and those we know that aren't connected with God or connected with church, and invite them to come on that Sunday. You got one of these cards in your program, use it. Write down names of those folks, pray for them, and get them here. Because we're gonna talk about dreaming. And you gotta know, nothing happens until somebody starts dreaming. But I want to challenge you right now to start dreaming over your marriage or your future marriage students, over your kids and over your school or whatever's going on in your life, over your career. And we're going to dream together about the future of this church. Here's what makes our dreams a reality. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Glory be to God, who by His mighty power at work within who? Who? Us. Who by His mighty power at work within us is able to do far more, and watch this, than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, and thoughts, and hopes. Man, do you know what that means? That means that God is able. You take the wildest dream you could have, the biggest thing you could ever possibly begin to imagine, and God says, I can do so much more than that if you just dare to ask me. So what are we afraid of? What are we afraid to ask God? What's our pushback there? I honestly believe, all of us, me included, we limit God by our unbelief. That's the only thing that limits God, is our unbelief. If there's going to be any tears in heaven, I'm convinced it's going to happen when we get there and we find out all the things we could have done or could have been if we'd have just believed God a little bit more. That's devastating for me to think about. And that's why I want to challenge you. I want to push you just to believe God a little bit more. More than you've ever had before, because God truly is able to do far more than we could dare ask for or even dream for. Here's the last one. Faith gives me power to hold on in tough times. It gives me the power to hold on in the tough times. Why is this one so important? Because faith doesn't always take you out of the problem, but it will always see you through the problem. Faith doesn't always take away the pain. Don't miss this. It doesn't always prevent that tragedy or that death. But it'll give you all you need to handle that pain, to calm that storm. I know this personally. And read the story of Corrie Ten Boom, who as a young woman was sent to the horrific Nazi death camps. You know what she said? She said that the people who survived were the people that had the deepest faith. Why? Because faith gives us power to hold on in tough times. It gives us the ability to bounce back, to get back up, to keep going and not stop. Because nobody's going to go through life with a free pass. Nobody. Everybody experiences failures and mistakes and embarrassment and hurts and losses and stuff. Listen, this is a reality check. We don't live in heaven. We live in a broken world. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be suffering. There's even going to be seasons of suffering, but it's faith that gets us through this. I've talked about this before throughout ministry. It was really challenged as you start a new church and you go through this, and I know Michael can identify with this too. There's times when I just wanted to quit, especially Monday mornings. You know, it's like, God, it's too much. It's too much responsibility. And what do we do about this? And what's going to happen there? And I'm not just smart. I'm just not smart enough. And there's got to be somebody else that can do better than this. And every single time, you know what God says? Don't you give up. I've got this. So you know what keeps me going? It's not some giant spiritual walk. It's faith. It's faith. So for me, I choose to live with anticipation. I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. I don't want to miss a single Sunday, because that might be the week that God comes in and changes everything. I don't want to miss it. Paul testified about it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:8. He said, we are pressed on every side by troubles. Anybody relate? But we're not crushed and broken. We're perplexed. We're confused. We don't know why this is happening, but we don't give up and quit. I love this one. We're attacked, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up and we keep going. This is why we're doing Daring Faith. Because a daring faith shrinks my problems. It opens the door for a miracle. It unlocks all the promises of God. It moves God to act on my behalf. It turns God-given dreams into reality. And it gives me power to hold on in the tough times. What a God. What a God. Here's what I want you to do over the next 10 weeks. It's your application. And this is at the bottom of your notes. But let me kind of break it down for you. First, I want you to participate in 21 days of prayer and fasting. That's your first step of faith. It starts today. And you can, hey, we've got a brand new website. Anybody seen it yet? We kind of slipped it in there. Go check it out. We want the feedback. But on it, you'll find information about prayer and fasting. Look on Facebook. We're going to be posting encouragement and things about prayer every day of this time. And so get involved in this. And something else, that you pray over your dreams. Dream big and then pray over them for you and your family and our church. And then here's something else that's really cool. We want to build a wall of prayer. So you came in, you might have seen the little mountains of bricks on the back on either side. Here's what we want you to do. Choose a special day during this 21 days. Go ahead and do it right now. Maybe Wednesday of the first week or Thursday of the second week. Choose a day. And then as you leave, get one brick per family. And on that day, set that brick up where everybody can see it. Be intentional. Have some very special times of prayer. Boy, what you could teach your kids about faith in this. And pray specifically and dream about it. And pray for these goals we're going to be sending out on our five faith goals and funding the church project and all that stuff. And then, after you have your special day, be sure to return that brick. But get a brick before you go. And then don't miss this. Wow, this is going to be so incredible. January 23rd. We're going to culminate the 21 days of prayer with an awakening worship service. We're calling it an awakening because we're going to come and we're going to lay down all what we've been praying about for God. We're going to experience the incredible worship. We're going to pray over Sunday the 24th and all those people you're going to be inviting. And we're going to experience God in a special way. That's Saturday, 9 o'clock in the morning on the 23rd. Participate in 21 days of prayer. Your second step of faith. I want you to get in a community group. And if you're not in one, you're not going to believe this, but the easiest way, and we're finding this out, that you can get in a community group is to start one. Don't zone me out. It's just a six-week commitment. And Michael's going to be here the next two Sundays at 2 o'clock, one of our pastors, to train you very simply how to lead a group. You can hit a DVD player. You can do this. Here's how you do it. Just go out and find one other person. Get a friend and say, you know what? I'm going to invite you to come study about faith with me for 6 weeks. We're going to watch some videos and I just need somebody to talk to. And then you and that person go get one more. Now you got three. Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be there. That's a group. It's an easy thing to do. Get in a group. Then when you get in a group, you're going to get a workbook. It looks like this. And in it is a daily devotion, some inspiring stuff, some good stuff. I want you to do it every day. And just watch what God does in your world. Then I want you to make a commitment. Be here. Purpose to be here every Sunday for the next 10 weeks and listen to the messages. And then we're going to have a memory verse every week. Take that memory verse home with you. Carry it around. Learn it and think on it. And then finally, and this is something else I'm going to unpack next Sunday. We'll talk more about it. But I want you to set three goals. Three goals for growing, giving, and going. If you're going to be a man of faith or a woman of faith, you got to grow in your faith, and you're growing, you're giving, and you're going. And it's going to be incredible. Well, I said a few moments ago that all the promises of God only apply to those who know the author, who know who he is. His name is Jesus Christ. So the biggest question for today is, have you met Jesus? I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I promise I won't keep you long. And I want you to just answer that question. It's between you and God. Have you met this Jesus? Do you know him? Do you know the author of the promises that I've been talking about this morning? If that's you today, I want to invite you to come to know him. I've been introducing him to you the whole time. And I want you to have the opportunity right here and now as we begin 2016. Forget the resolutions. This is where it starts because this is the power source. This is the life change moment right here. And all you got to do right where you're sitting is to pray this prayer. God, I surrender. I've tried it. It doesn't work. And I know to make it through this life, because life is not just good. It's tough. I need you. And just pray this to him. Just say, I believe. I don't understand all of faith. I'm excited that we're going to learn about it. But I choose to believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you died for me on that cross. That once and for all of my sin has been paid for. That I am forgiven and I am free. I accept your acceptance of me. And I choose to believe and acknowledge that you are the Son of God. you are Jesus Christ. I give you all of my life. You prayed that right now. I want you to do a couple of things for me with eyes still closed. I want you to jump in on what we've talked about today. Just give these several weeks a shot and do these things that I just listed. You give God a chance and you watch what he does in your world. And then two, I want you to mark it on your connection card in a little bit that's in your program, and I'll talk about that later, that you made this decision. For all of us today, what an opportunity. We're standing at a crossroads. Do we choose to step up, to dive off into the deep end, and challenge ourselves to believe God and trust in him more than we ever have before in our life, not because of a crisis, but because we want to, because we want to grow spiritually. We want to become all that he's made us to be in every area of our life, especially in including generosity. It's your choice and it's mine. I invite you to make it today. Father, you're an incredible God. You are more awesome than we could ever even imagine. You've laid this out. You, just as with the children of Israel back in that moment, standing on the edge of that river, you did your part. You were faithful. And you couldn't wait to do far more than what they could even dare to ask you. The same is true today. Whether it be in our marriages, in our finances, and with our kids, with our careers, with the challenges of life, with the hurts, with the losses, with all of the things that are going on, you're saying, I dare you to ask me. I dare you to believe. I want to do so much more. Daring faith, give it to us, Father. May we open up and receive it and just yield to it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.